Why do we struggle to stick to diets when dessert appears? Why does a 50-cent aspirin work better than a chemically identical 1-cent pill? These puzzling questions sit at the heart of Dan Ariely's groundbreaking exploration of human irrationality. After suffering severe burns in an explosion at age 18, Ariely developed a unique perspective on human behavior, observing our predictable patterns of irrationality with fresh eyes. His research reveals that our seemingly random mistakes actually follow consistent patterns that can be understood and even harnessed for better outcomes. Imagine a world where we could predict our own foolishness. That's the promise of understanding our predictable irrationality. Our minds evaluate options relatively, not absolutely. In an MIT experiment, students heavily favored a print and internet subscription combo for $125 when presented alongside a print-only option at the same price. Without this decoy, preference for the combo dropped from 84% to 32%, showing how context, not value, drives choices. This relativity effect appears everywhere. House hunters compare similar styles rather than diverse options. Retailers add premium models to make standard versions seem cheaper. CEO salaries escalated when compensation became public, driven by peer comparisons. We anchor our value judgments to initial prices, even arbitrary ones. In 1973, Salvador Essel established black pearls worth by displaying them at Harry Winston alongside expensive diamonds. That's why we accept $5 coffee at upscale cafes but resist it at gas stations. Our first price encounter becomes our permanent reference. Traditional economics assumes we act on true preferences, but if anchors and comparisons drive our choices, free markets may not optimize happiness. We can minimize these effects by avoiding situations that trigger harmful comparisons and thinking broadly about value, recognizing that savings matter equally regardless of the original price. Zero isn't just another price, it's an emotional trigger that creates irrational excitement. While normal discounts might mildly interest us, free provokes an overwhelming response. We collect useless free items, wait in long lines for free food, and buy unnecessary products just to get something free. The allure of free stems from our fear of loss. When something is free, there's no risk of loss, making zero a unique category rather than just another price point. Experiments with MIT students and trick-or-treaters showed that when trading candy, participants made rational calculations about getting the most chocolate. However, when one option became free, about 70% abandoned logic and took the worst deal. Our willpower functions like a muscle that tires with use. Each no depletes energy from a limited reserve until we eventually give in. Studies show that mentally depleted participants cheat more than fresh ones, and even Israeli parole boards grant more favorable decisions when judges are refreshed, early morning or after breaks. Instead of fighting temptation head-on, it's more effective to avoid it altogether. Building specific resistance strategies, like counting, singing, or making action plans, can strengthen our ability to resist future urges. We live simultaneously in two different worlds, one governed by social norms and another by market norms. Social norms involve friendly requests without immediate payback, creating warm community connections. Market norms involve sharp-edged exchanges with prompt payments expected. When these worlds remain separate, everything functions smoothly, but trouble arises when they collide. In experiments where participants dragged circles across computer screens, those paid $5 completed 159 circles. Those paid 50 cents completed only 101, but those simply asked as a favor completed 168, more than either paid group. Social motivation outperformed financial incentives. Even thinking about money changes behavior. Participants who unscrambled sentences with money-related words became more self-reliant but less helpful toward others. Companies have invested billions trying to establish themselves as social companions. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But many fail to understand social relationships. When a bank charges hefty fees after marketing itself as your friend, customers feel betrayed. In a purely market relationship, fees are annoying but acceptable. In a social relationship, they're relationship killers. Similarly, employers have shifted from clear market-based employment to social exchanges, blurring work-life boundaries. Social norms make employees passionate and loyal, but companies undermine these social contracts when they cut benefits while expecting continued dedication. Money, while necessary, is often the most expensive way to motivate people. Social norms are cheaper and frequently more effective. As Burning Man demonstrates with its gift economy, life with fewer market norms and more social norms can be more satisfying, creative, and fulfilling. A Duke University study revealed basketball ticket lottery winners demanded $2,400 for their tickets, while non-winners would only pay $170. Ownership had created a 14-fold difference in perceived value. This endowment effect influences many decisions. During the 2007-2008 housing crisis, 62% of homeowners believed their properties maintained value despite the market collapse. When selling our Cambridge house, we learned this lesson firsthand. Only after removing our cherished renovations did the house sell quickly. We also struggled to eliminate options. While Chinese commander Zhang Yu secured victory by burning his troop ships, we do the opposite, buying expandable devices we won't upgrade and overcommitting to activities. Breaking free requires deliberately closing doors, from trimming holiday card lists to making firm career choices. Like Rhett Butler's dismissal of Scarlett O'Hara, closing doors can be liberating. Understanding our irrational tendencies isn't just an academic exercise. It's a pathway to better decisions and a more fulfilling life. By recognizing the comparison trap, we can focus on absolute rather than relative value. By acknowledging our susceptibility to free, we can question whether free offers truly benefit us. By respecting the boundaries between social and market norms, we can build stronger relationships, both personal and professional. Our irrational behaviors aren't random mistakes, but predictable patterns that follow hidden rules. When we learn these rules, we gain power over our decisions rather than being unconsciously driven by forces we don't understand. The next time you feel an irrational urge to buy something you don't need because it's on sale, to judge your success against someone else's, or to choose an expensive option simply because it's expensive, pause and ask yourself, is this my authentic preference or am I being predictably irrational? By embracing our humanity, quirks and all, we can design environments that work with our psychology rather than against it. The path to better decisions isn't becoming perfectly rational beings, it's understanding and accepting our wonderful, frustrating, predictable irrationality. While we focus on combating robbery, $525 million in 2004, larger financial losses come from workplace theft, $600 billion annually, insurance fraud, $24 billion, tax evasion, $350 billion, and corporate malfeasance. Society judges white-collar crimes less harshly, despite their greater impact. In experiments with Harvard students using a 50-question test paying 10 cents per correct answer, we tested scenarios making cheating progressively easier, from visible answers to unsupervised self-reporting. Remarkably, cheating remained modest and consistent across conditions. Our moral compass activates for major transgressions but overlooks minor ones. However, when participants recalled the Ten Commandments before testing, cheating vanished completely, even if they remembered only one or two. Simply considering moral standards rather than their specifics promoted honesty. Maintaining integrity requires moral reminders at moments of temptation. We must recognize our tendency to rationalize self-interest and create systems that align personal gain with moral standards. In our transaction-based world, trust remains our most valuable currency.